Today, we're going in the series, The God That I Wish You Knew. As we've talked about in the series, we all have opinions of who God is, ideas of what God is like. And what we believe about God determines how we interact with God, is the way we've been looking at. In fact, this is a fill-in on your notes if you want to write it in. You and I will never fully know our purpose, our worth, our value, our significance until we discover who God is. Man, that is a great point. We will never fully know our purpose or understand our worth or our value or our significance until we discover who God is. That's why this series, to me, is so essential for all of us. It's not just something that we look at and go, oh, you know, it's a nice topic. We've got to be in touch with who is God, because it changes how we live. It determines how we live. And as we discover who God really is, it gives us strength in life. It gives us joy. It gives us peace. It gives us all these things that we so desperately need. Your opinions come from many different things. Your life experiences, it comes from the experiences of others, it comes from hurts and misunderstandings that you've had in your life. It also comes from the baggage of others. Other people go through difficult times and things don't make sense, and so then they have this baggage like, God doesn't really care for me. But a lot of times what happens is we have these people in our life and they dump their baggage on us. And so when they feel like God doesn't really care for me, then we begin to believe that God doesn't really care for me either. We pick up the baggage. In this series, we've looked at a number of different things. I just want to touch on them to let you know what we covered. By the way, all these are online, and you can listen to them if you missed any. But the God that I wish you knew is a God who is for you. And when we understand that, we don't hide from God. We actually run to God, which makes a total difference in how we approach God. So many of us run from God. We also looked at the God that I wish you knew is a God who speaks to you, because in our world, people do not believe that God speaks, but the scripture is clear that God does speak. In fact, what's really important is relationship requires communication, and so if God's not speaking, he's not interested in relationship, but God is speaking because that's why he created you and I was for relationship. We looked at the God that I wish you knew is a God who keeps his promises. And how the reason that's so important is because God is only as good as his word. In other words, if you don't trust God, you're not going to turn to God. If God's not reliable, if he doesn't come through with his promises, you're never going to trust him. And he wants you to trust him. Last week, we looked at the God that I wish you knew is a God who can change you. And to me, it's one of the most important talks that we could have, because while some people feel that God can't change them, there's many of us that believe that God can change us, but we're not really interested. The truth is, the fact that God can change you speaks about his love and his power for you and in your life. And our reason to change must be greater than our excuses to stay as we are. God has great plans for you, but if we're just full of excuses to stay as we are, we're never going to be in sync with what God is trying to do in our lives. Now, this week, the God that I wish you knew is a God who loves you unconditionally. Now, you might go, oh, I knew that. Maybe, maybe not. I think this is an important issue as well, because, in fact, this topic is so important that I think that many of you might have questions. If you do have questions, I want to remind you that you can text your questions, and it comes to us anonymously. That's on your note sheet. If you have any, it comes to us. We don't know who it is. I mean, if we wanted to, we could figure it out, but we're not interested in figuring it out. It comes to us anonymously, and we just want to help you answer your questions. So this talk might pose some challenges that might help you. We would love to be assistance if we can. I don't know if you've ever known or if you've ever loved someone and it wasn't reciprocated. Have you ever loved someone that did not love you back? They call that stalking, by the way. So if it's long-term, that's not good. A lot of us, and I would think that most of us, know somebody or we've had somebody that we've loved in our lives and it was not reciprocated. It was not given back. When love is not returned, it usually is only a matter of time and we will stop extending our love. When love is not reciprocated, when love is not returned, usually most of us will stop extending our love because it's not returned. Because by nature, all of us, our love is very selfish. You might not think so. You might think, oh, you know what? I'm not that selfish. The very nature of our love, even when you choose a spouse, is this person going to be compatible for me? Is this person going to meet my needs? Am I going to be able to love? Is this person going to take care of me? All these things that we have, even in the truest sense when we think about marriage, that is still a very selfish way that we approach. We do not choose to love just out of love's sake. God's love is different than ours, thankfully. And I want to start with a scripture that says this in Ephesians 3. May you be able to feel and understand, as all of God's children should, how long and how wide, how deep, how high his love really is. And to experience this love for yourselves, though it is so great that you'll never see the end of it or fully know or understand it. And so at last, you will be filled up with God himself. Don't miss that. No matter how hard you try, you will never come to the end of God's love. You will never fully understand it. We cannot. But what's important is understanding that God wants us to experience, he wants everyone to discover and experience his love for ourselves. That's a fill-in if you want to write that down. God wants everyone to discover and experience his love for ourselves, not through somebody else. We don't let somebody else experience love and have them tell us about it and then makes us feel good about it. God wants you to experience it personally. He wants you to discover and experience it in a very personal way. And I believe that most people are aware of how much God loves them. But I also believe that there's a lot of baggage that goes with that. When it comes to God loving us unconditionally, some people don't believe it. Some can't believe it. And we talked about that last week. They choose not to believe it. And then some misunderstand it. That's kind of where my approach is coming from today. I honestly believe that most of us do not engage in God's love, and most people do not pursue God because they misunderstand God's love. I hope we can clear that up to some degree. So I want to explain something as we get into this. The New Testament is written in Greek, and in the Greek language, there's a number of different words for love. And those are listed there. I want to give you what they are. The different types of love, there's four different types, but I'm only going to give you three. First of all, there's phileo love, which is brotherly love. It's where we get the word Philadelphia. It's a city of brotherly love. This is how we love each other. This is how you love the family, okay? There's a brotherly love. It's called a phileo love. And then there's a eros love, and that is a passionate love, and it's that's where we get the word erotic from. And this is a passion that we have naturally, that we have a natural attraction to people of the opposite sex, hopefully. These are natural forms of what love is. But then there is agape, and agape is unconditional God love. And agape is the highest form of love. It's not motivated by superficial appearance. It's not an emotional attraction or sentimental relationship. It's a choice of commitment and devotion. And agape is the love that God has for you personally. So we've got to, if we can look at some definitions, there's some things that we need to understand about God's unconditional love. First of all, unconditional, it's a word meaning without conditions, not contingent, not determined or influenced by someone or something else. It's completely on its own, as it were. And then if we look at love, what the definition of that is, it's not a feeling. It is desiring and doing the best for someone, though it may not be reciprocated. If you want a more complete definition, you go to 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not self-serving. It is all these things. But this is an unconditional love that is always looks out for the other person, even though it may not be reciprocated. It may not be returned. I made this statement a couple of weeks ago, or actually the very first talk in this series. And it wasn't a fill-in that I made, but I want to make it a fill-in today at some point. I'll let you know. And what I was saying in the talk is I said, there is absolutely nothing that you have done and nothing that you could do that would cause God to love you less. That's an important concept to understand. That God loves you as you are right now. It doesn't mean he's done with you, but God loves you. And there's nothing you could do that could cause God to love you less than he loves you right now. So we need to know God's love is not determined by our past. It's not determined by our failures. Those kind of things. It's not determined by something that happened or something that we did. God's love is not earned. There's nothing that you could do that could make you better, that could cause God to love you more. And so you do all these things to earn God's love. That doesn't happen. God's love is not based on our performance. It's a gift. So it's not based on the performance of your life, because we're all full of failures, successes and failures. And if your love, if God's love was based on performance, it would kind of be like a Santa Claus, right? If you're a good boy or girl, then you get on Santa's nice list. And if you're not, you get on Santa's naughty list. That's, God's not Santa, thankfully. So here's the point that I made. That wasn't a fill-in, but I'm making it one today. And that is, a common misunderstanding that we have is God loving you doesn't mean you're in relationship with God. I want to say it again. I want to say it slow so we get it. God's love is unconditional. God cares about you, and there's nothing you could do that would cause God to love you less. But God loving you doesn't mean that you are in a relationship with Him. Relationship is not one-sided. Love requires a response where we choose to love Him in return. Relationship with God has its conditions. Where God's love has no conditions, relationship with God has conditions. It's contingent upon our actions. Okay, you get that? In other words, it's like going into a marriage. You can't go into a marriage and say, hey, you know what, I'm gonna love you, but I'm gonna love all these other people too. You know, you are gonna be just a part of it. No, there's a contingent relationship, there's a contingent on this love that, hey, you're gonna be the only one in my life. In fact, what we can say it simply this way. Relationship with God is conditional. It is conditional. The benefits that we so desperately want and need from God come from having a personal relationship with Him. It doesn't mean that we're perfect or we have to be perfect or we have it all together. It just means that we have to love God as He loves us. It means that we have to put Him first. We have to really want Him and set Him as the object of our affection. So we have to come to God on His terms. I want to look at a few examples of these conditions that God places on us that maybe you might think, wait, how does God place conditions on us? Well, there's a few of them, and there's many, but like Romans 10 says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If, then. It's a contingency. If you do this, then this will happen. Here's another one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. If, then. It is a contingency. You can't be in relationship with God on your terms. Your relationship with God has contingencies, and it's on His terms. So loving God looks like this. I mean, 1 John 4:21 says, the command that we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. So we can't even say, hey, I love God, but I hate them. That doesn't work. That's not a contingency that works in God's vernacular, in God's kingdom. If you say, hey, I love God, then you have to love others. So here is this important news. God's love makes this relationship possible. The relationship that comes with all these benefits that God wants to have with you, this relationship that has all these contingencies, God's love makes that relationship possible, because without His love, it would not even be possible. Romans 5:8 tells us that God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. The fact that we can even have a relationship with God is because God sent His Son to die for our sins. God's love opens the door to having a relationship with Him. I like Acts 10:35 in the Message. It says this, it makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as He says, the door is open. I think what happens a lot of times is we want God, but on our terms. I want God's benefits, but I don't want to love Him as He loves me. I don't want to pattern my life after Him. I don't want Him calling the shots. I still want to call the shots. Listen, that's relationship on our terms. It doesn't work. It has no life attached to it. We have to understand God loves you unconditionally, but His relationship with you, the one that He wants, is full of conditions, conditions that are for your good, for our good. So God wants this relationship with everyone. And when we understand God's love, what we discover is that God loves everyone the same. God loves absolutely everyone the same. The worst of the worst, the best of the best, terrorists in the Middle East, your ex-husband, your ex-wife, that's the worst I could think of for you, I don't know. Your boss, that maybe that, you know, James, your boss, God loves your boss. Those who don't share the same political views that you have, God loves us all the same. God is not Republican, nor is he Democrat. A popular scripture that you may know, it's John 3:16 that says, "For God so loved the world, everyone in it, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." But there's a couple of others that I want you to hear. Ephesians 1 says, even before God made the world, God loved us. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. And look at this is whether you're in relationship or not. Whether you have a relationship with God or not, God loves you. In fact, there's another one in Psalms 145. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all of his creation. So you think about that and you think, okay, God loves everyone the same, but it doesn't mean that we're in relationship. We also need to understand love isn't just something God does, it's who he is. Love isn't just something that God does. It's not just his action. It is his definition. 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the fact that God is truth. And there's absolutely nothing false in him. Just by his very nature, he cannot be anything but truth. It's this, in the same way God is love. It is his nature. He cannot be unloving. Even when you read instances in the Old Testament and you see, man, God must have been really upset. Even in his anger that is righteous, he is not unloving because he's always given people a chance. He's always given them space and room and time to change and to come to him. He doesn't have to try to be loving. He acts, and through his actions, he defines love. That's amazing to me. Like we have a standard when we try. If you want to be loving like God, it'd probably be a good thing to read 1 Corinthians 13, right? You read 1 Corinthians and it says, love is patient, love is kind. And so we're like, okay, I need to be more patient. I need to be more kind to people. God doesn't have to go, oh, I need to be more patient with them. He doesn't need to be reminded, oh, I need to be more compassionate. He just acts and defines love because it's who he is. And that love is directed towards you. We also need to understand this, that God's love gives us free will. God's love gives you free will. I would say it's probably one of God's greatest gifts that he's given to us. Free will means that God gives us the opportunity to make choices that genuinely affect our destiny. The world's current sinful state that we're in right now is directly linked to free will choice made by Adam and Eve. God gave them free will to act, and in their actions brought sin into the world. God does not force love. He doesn't force you to love him. Loving God is a choice that each one of us have to make. In fact, it's a choice that we make every single day. And because the true expression of love is that it's a choice that we have to make personally. In the book of Deuteronomy, God says this, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses." Think about this. This is what God's saying to you. I've given you the choice. What do you want? Do you want life or do you want death? Do you want blessings or curses? Because it's your choice, your choice. And he says, "Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choices you have made. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live." You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you, I just want to retouch on that because he says, you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, by obeying him, committing yourself to him firmly to him. It's conditional. You want to love God? You want to make the choice? There's a condition that's attached to it. It has nothing to do with God's love for you. You can choose not to love God, and God will still love you. But you cannot get into relationship with God by a choice of choosing to reject God. God's love is the gift that we accept. And if you choose to accept it, your destiny is in, if you choose to reject God's love, your destiny is in your own hands. There are consequences to not accepting God's love. Because what we're doing, in essence, is we're rejecting God. And when you reject God, there is a condition, there's something that's going to happen. It's a punishment. Not because God doesn't love you, but because there is there's a punishment attached to anything that sets itself against God. And we choose to reject God sometimes. We're choosing not to spend eternity with Him. And so, in fact, what we're actually choosing is we're choosing hell ourselves. God has already made heaven possible. Your sins and my sins have been paid for, which is another point about God's love that we need to look at, and that's this. God's love is sacrificial. God made the sacrifice of pain for your sin before you asked for it, before you wanted it, before you even knew that it was needed. God already sacrificed His one and only Son for you. Not because you deserved it, not because you earned it, not because you were in the right place, not because you worked through your problems and got it all figured out. God sent His Son to die before you even asked for it. This goes back to my first question. Have you ever loved someone that chose not to love you in return? Because that's exactly what God understands. God understands just how that feels. And while we may stop extending love to somebody who refuses to reciprocate it, God does not. God's love caused Him to give His one and only Son for you when you didn't ask for it or want it. 1 John 4 says this, "This is how God showed His love for us. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him." And this is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage that they've done to our relationship with God. God's the one who did all the work. He's the one who made the sacrifice. This morning, we're going to take communion. It's a remembrance that we get, a remembrance that we have to just what love does, the love that we have been, that's been given to us, how that love, that sacrificial love, that unconditional love has transformed our lives. I hope that you have a better understanding and a little bit of God's love for you and what that looks like and understand this idea that God loves you beyond your wildest dreams. God loves you more than you will ever, ever understand, ever. But His love for you does not mean that you are brought into the benefits of His love, which is relationship. It doesn't mean that there's safety just because God loves you. It means that God is patient with you. He's kind. He's forbearing. He's everything. He's waiting. He's done everything for you. But the relationship that we so desperately want and need is conditional. So how do we respond to God's love? What is the condition? I mean, obviously we have to choose to love God in return, but what does that mean? It means this, that we have to love others with the same love that God has loved us with. We have to love others with that same love. You might think, oh, there's no way. Yeah, there is a way. Let me read out of you 1 John 4, 7 and 8. He says, "My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God because God is love. So you can't know Him if you don't love." You know what I love about that scripture? Everyone who loves is born of God. That love is agape, unconditional love. God's unconditional love is what is asked of us. And you might think, I can't do that. And you know what? You're right. You can't. That's why you need God. You cannot love with unconditional love if you are void of God. When God comes in with a relationship, He fills you with love. There's no room for being prejudiced when you are in relationship with God. There's no room for hatred when you're in relationship with God. There's no room for animosity with others. There's no room for a lack of forgiveness because God resides within you. God calls us to love our neighbor. He calls us to love strangers. He calls us to love our enemies. And maybe loving our enemies is when we truly love like God. Think about it. Maybe when we love our enemies is when we truly love like God, because God loved us when we hated Him. Just like our enemies might hate you. You want to love like God? Love your enemies. Our vision, creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus. We can't do that without Him. I'd like you to close your eyes if you would. I just want you to listen to me. Because you might be here today and you might not have relationship. You might be aware that God loves you, but you've never entered into a relationship. You've never come to God on His terms. You've never confessed with your mouth. You've never believed in your heart. You've never said, hey, I want God to fill my life. I want a relationship. You can't just have an understanding of what God's love might be like and say, I'm good with God. That's not on His terms. Man, God loves you unconditionally. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Because that unconditional love brings us right into relationship. I want to pray for you, but I want to encourage you, if you want to begin a relationship with Jesus, you want to accept God's sacrificial love by accepting what His Son did on the cross for you personally, this is the time to do it. You talk to God like you would talk to your neighbor, like you would talk to a friend. He's listening. You don't have to have the right words. You just have to have the right heart. God, I want you. Remember the scripture. Anybody that wants to come to God on His terms, He's waiting. He's opened the door and made it possible. Father, we come to You today with gratitude that fills us. Thankful that You love us as You do, because none of us in this room deserve it. None of us have earned it. None of us perform in a way that makes us perfect. We are all disqualified to some degree, but it's a gift that we have the ability to accept. And in accepting it, You fill us and You enable us. Father, help us not to be just aware of Your love. Help us not to just be familiar with Your love. But Father, may we feel and experience Your unconditional love in our lives. And I ask that You would help us to love as we've been loved. Father, I ask for those that are here that want to begin that relationship with You, that Your love would fill their lives at this moment, that You would breathe into them life, that You would not only forgive their sins, but Father, that they would discover their value and their purpose and their worth as they experience You. Father, we're here today with gratitude for Your love. May we never take it for granted, but may it motivate us and may it inspire us to love as we've been loved. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.